somewhat of my testimony. Me and my brother came from a very, very severely alcoholic home. And as adults, my brother went into the U.S. military. He's a major in the Air Force now.
Lieutenant Colonel.
Sorry. My bad.
Somebody has to keep it
alive. When my brother got married, he got married to a woman who had a little girl, Haley, and my brother adopted Haley as his own, and so I met Haley when she was just, you know, 3 years old, and just have a lot of fond memories of Haley. Haley lived with my brother and Haley's mom in Georgia for a while, and then at different places. But I know in terms of our some of the prayer requests we've had in here in this study over the years, many have included people in our lives who are facing drug addiction, young people especially, drug and alcohol addiction. And so Haley went down that path, a long way down that path. And so the reason I wanted to have Haley give her testimony is because in the last few years, my wife and I witnessed a radical, radical change in Haley's life. And it was something that only God could do. There was no human power that was able to do what we saw happen in Haley's life. We were very worried for her, and a lot of people in our family prayed for her for a while because we saw the path of destruction she was on. And we didn't think there was hope but for the Lord, and he came through. So Haley got help through a fantastic ministry called South Georgia House of Hope, which Sharon and her husband founded, and we're very grateful for this ministry, for how they blessed my niece. And so with Haley being in town, I just thought, you know what, I wanted to ask Tim if it would be okay just for her to share her story, because I think it may resonate with some of you in terms of some of the people in your own family or people that you know or your children know. So with that, I'd like to just hand the floor over to Haley and have her tell you a little bit about her story and herself.
I just want to say, first of all, just thank you for having me. And just, I don't think you understand that. Just going on the website and looking up what we do, just to me, just touched my heart. So thank you for that, because that just really shows just a lot of honor. And just, I just feel so much love here. But with saying that, I just want to tell you a little bit about my story and what God has done in my life. I grew up in, I was raised in a family that knew God, but it wasn't, you got saved and then there was no, like, follow-up. You didn't have any discipleship. You just got saved to get saved. And so that I had that foundation from a little girl, but never knew that you could have an intimate relationship with the Lord. I just thought it was something that people just did on Sundays. And I didn't ever care for it growing up. I stopped going to church. We moved a lot when I was younger because my mom was in and out of marriages. And I was kind of raised by my grandparents. And then when we moved, my dad, my Uncle Chris's brother, took me on and as his own. And that was like the most stable years of my life. Other than that, my life was very just chaotic. There was a lot of just ups and downs. And my mom just, she never had like a stable, she was never stable emotionally and kind of always took it out on me and my brother. And so from that, just as a little girl, I just remember growing up and just being very angry and feeling like I didn't have a voice. And when I did have a voice, it was like all I could do was just yell and scream and just throw temper tantrums. And that's how I could voice my opinion or my frustration. And so at the age of 8, I remember just really reaching out for friends and reaching out for just love in any area, boys, friendships, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and that wasn't fulfilling to me. It, you know, I was looking for all the love, and it just wasn't being fulfilled in my heart. So I started, at the age of 8, I remember picking up my first cigarette and feeling like, wow, you know, this is cool. This is who I am. You know, I felt accepted. I felt loved with the people that I was around. And at the age of 8, we started moving around. My dad's in the military, so I moved around a lot and just kind of took on this, like, facade of, like, a chameleon almost. Like, it was like each environment that I was in, I could become someone that was different. And so I never really knew who Haley was. And that was really confusing because it was just a big question mark in my life of who am I. And so at the age of 12 years old, I remember drinking my first sip of alcohol from a babysitter, and just felt like every emotion, I was just numb, didn't feel anything, and, you know, that I like that. So it just kind of spiraled out of control. From there, I started, I moved in with my mom from living with my dad, who was more structured, and moved in with my mom, who just, you know, just didn't have a lot of structure in that home. And started getting in a lot of physical fights in the home that I was living in, and started cutting myself and just trying to attempt suicide. And the hand of God was just on me, you know, throughout all those years. And I started getting heavier into drinking and using prescription drugs, and you know, thinking that. I started stealing my mom's pills and selling them at school, and at the age of 14, and just really just thought that people loved me for that. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep doing this. And from that, I entered into, at the age of 15, got involved in a relationship that was very abusive and just really controlling. But that's where I was finding my worth and, you know, feeling loved. From that, I just started getting heavier and heavier into more street drugs, cocaine and pills, and just anything I could get my hands on. In high school, I was there, but I wasn't mentally there, and if I was, I would hardly ever go, but when I was there, my mind wasn't. And so I just barely made it through school, you know, by the grace of God. After 5 years and going through 7 different high schools because of being kicked out of each home that I was in. Just continuing that facade of, you know, being different in every environment. Getting arrested for underage drinking. And so that was my high school kind of period. And at the age of 18... I got kicked out of my mom's house for the last time and moved in with, I was living with a boyfriend and then friends and all this and selling drugs. Really was waking up each morning just like hating who I was and not knowing, you know, I was like, I know that I have something better for my life, but I don't know what it is. And so my family was kind of just putting these ideas in my head, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I ended up going to hair school at the age of 19 or 18 and attempting to do that. And my addiction just got even worse and spiraling out of control. And they kicked me out of school for not ever showing up. And I ended up with just friends that I thought were friends, just people that were really heavy in trafficking drugs and stuff like that, and I got involved in that. And by the age of 19, my mom was just completely done with me. I had cut, just you know, manipulated her, lied to her, stole from her for the last time, and she just said enough was enough. And so at the age of 19, when she finally cut me off, I woke up after being in, I'd been on a binge like for a week straight, not sleeping, and I felt like my chest was like collapsing in from all the drug use, and just thinking in my mind, wow, I need to go to the emergency room. Like, I feel like I'm dying right now. And I couldn't breathe, and the people that I thought were friends wouldn't take me to the emergency room. You know, everyone was just not in their right mind. And so I finally humbled myself enough to call my mom and just tell her, look, I really need you to take me to the emergency room. And so she came and picked me up from a crack house in Atlanta, Georgia. And I got in the car and just completely broke down and was like, I need help. Just looked like a zombie, hadn't slept. And, you know, she said, this is, I knew that you had a problem, and I just wanted you to come to the realization that you needed help. And so from that, I kept running from what God was trying to do in my life. I kept going back to those same friends, and I was fighting for it for about a couple weeks. And finally, I went to detox and called the House of Hope, and I got on the phone, and the lady that answered the phone, it was just like peace, was just like coming through her voice through the phone. And she said, you know, this is going to be one of the hardest things that you ever had to go through, ever will have to go through. And, you know, she told me, she's like, we don't drink caffeine, we don't do TV, a lot of TV, we don't have sugar, because we just want you just to get off at all of that. And I was like, I don't think so, that's not for me, you know. But there was just something tugging at my heart, just go check it out. And I was like, okay. My family was like, just go and see it. So I went out there, and I walked through the doors of the House of Hope, and it's just it's a beautiful old renovated farmhouse, and it's just, you walk in and it's just like the peace of God just falls on you. And it's just like 20 years of baggage that I was carrying from being angry and abandoned and not knowing who I was just like fell off. And I just remember thinking, you know, I want this. Like, I want. And the lady that was touring the house, she just had this glow about her and just this joy. And I thought to myself, I want that. I want what she has. And that just kind of sparked something in me. And so on March 4th of 2012, I came to the House of Hope after just fighting every bit of the way. I finally just went, and it was one of the best years of my life, but one of the hardest years of my life, to actually face the reality of I did this to myself, and I can't blame my parents for the things that they did. I can only make my choices. The Lord has given me a free will choice. And so I came into the House of Hope a little girl. I was 20 years old when I went, and I'm 23 now. And I can tell you that I know that I'm a woman of God now. I'm not a little girl who has to depend on other people to provide. And I look to Him as a daddy and just, okay, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. And it's just been an amazing journey. He put in my heart, we do something called two-way journaling at the house, and it's where we write to the Lord and then we hear back from Him. And he told me when I was 5, because the program is a minimum of a year long, and that was another thing that was keeping me back, but I finally just, I was like, I'm just going to do it. So At 5 months in the program, the Lord was told me that I was, he's like, I'm going to send you to the nations, and you're going to be a missionary, and you're going to be an ambassador of my life, ambassador of light. And I was like, what? I've never heard this before, but I know that this is what I want. This is a desire of my heart. And so from that, at 5 months in the program, I heard the Lord say that. And about a year and a half later, he sent me to Mozambique, Africa for a 3-month mission school. And was just completely just wrecked my life. Like I could never live a simple, like just a normal life, if there's such a thing. Just the passion that God has placed in my heart is such a treasure, and that just I came back to House of Hope, and I'm living there in the house now, and it's just like seeing the ladies pick up on the passion and run with it and get the not only the Valdosta in their heart, like I could change House of Hope, or I could change Valdosta. No, I could change nations. And they get that in their heart, and they believe it, and they see that they're worthy to do that, that the Lord has placed that, and it's just like incredible to see. But that's right now what the Lord is doing at the house, and just it's just great, and he's moving in a mighty way, and he's just I'm grateful to be there, and I'm grateful to whatever he has for me. I'm really excited for it. So it's just a little bit about me.
Great. Well,
so thank you guys for having me.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
Haley, for most people, I think most of us in this room, almost all of us have shared our testimonies over time. There's a point where you just say, that's it, I'm not going to do this anymore. I remember for me when it what was, in the backyard of my house. And do you have a point like that where it's like, at this point, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to stop trying to do it my way.
To be honest, I would say I went through the program, and I did a little bit for myself, but I did a lot of it for my family. And I had the passion that the Lord gave me in my heart, but it was about a year and a half ago, the Lord gave me a choice. You can either go this way or you can go this way. And right after that, because I was just kind of struggling with what I wanted to do and just walking with the Lord. And so I went on a fast, and it was like a 3-day fast, and I was just praying, and I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he was like, just surrender your life to me. I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, I'll really surrender to you. And then that's when, literally, I think it was like a day later, I got accepted to the school. And I was like, okay, I'm really going to walk this out now. Like, you've given me the tools, and now I'm gonna live my life for you. So that was a turning point, definitely, for me.
It's kind of like the story of the prodigal son, I'm sure you're aware of that. And there was a real issue in that. The prodigal son went and did things much like you did.
Yeah.
And then it says, then he came to his senses, and he returned to his father. And then he began to see the love that God has for us through our families, our friends. And it's that way in all of our lives. Just comes different in different packages, wrapped with different color bows and ribbons sometimes. But in various ways, it comes to all of us. And there's only one answer to this, through Jesus Christ and his Father God.
Barry, you want?
Yeah, I was on the board of a women's alcohol and drug rehab program in New Jersey. Rehab farmhouse, and you had to stay there for a year.
What was it called?
Good News Home for Women.
Perfect.
And so the thing that we unfortunately don't realize is what you look like before you went in. Because we see you now after you went in, and you know your face glows, but the comparison would be so unreal to see, you know, when you see some of these women and you see their conditions and alcohol, I mean, no caffeine. I mean, the struggle with multiple addictions is a common theme. And, I mean, there's no hope in any of their faces, none whatsoever. And then fast forward, and there's a reason why it's 1 year or longer, because it takes a long time to work through issues.
Yeah.
And you know, your face is unbelievable.
Yeah, that seems to be very constant, the 1 year. I mean, I was involved with his mansion, the Hillsborough, and he did the same thing in 1 year. They actually forced me to work the same kind of thing, did everything. He provided all the progress and activity. And they would pray and that they, food would arrive, and they needed just the things happen. So you saw God working all the time.
Yeah.
And it was powerful. What happens is you come from a place where you're all alone and everything is pulling against you, to a place where people are pulling for you and trying to lift you up in a way, understanding that you're struggling.
Yeah.
It's just so precious.
When we make plans, God laughs. But do you have a sense of next year, 5 years, where God wants you, or still in Georgia and back in Africa?
Well, I have, when I was in Africa, he placed, like, a love for Cambodia in my heart. I don't know when that is. I know that I want to be a full-time missionary there, and help the ladies that are in the sex trafficking, and also the little kids, too, because it's just running rampant in the little boys and the little girls. So that's, I don't know when that's going to be. I know that the Lord is preparing me. Now, how long that preparation stage is, I'm not sure. But hopefully something will come within the next 5 years.
Haley, I have a question. In a room of this size, at least one or two people in here have somebody in their life that is struggling with some form of addiction. Besides the obvious, what we talked about, you know, praying for that person, is there any recommendation that you or Sharon have to this group, what to do or how to respond to that person that they love and they see as struggling?
I would say don't give up on them ever. Like, keep encouraging them. Don't enable them, money or anything. But I mean, just if they're on your heart, just keep encouraging them that they can do it. And you know that the Lord has a plan for their life, because it might not sink in right away. It will sink in, but it might not, you know, take root right away. But one day it'll come, because actually, all three of these people sitting right here, you know, when I was younger, just kept, they would pour into me, and it wasn't even like they really like preached at me. They just would just share with me and just love on me, and it was like, think back, I'm like, God used them so mightily. And so just if it's a CD, or if it's something that they, you know, if it's a Christian CD, just, you know, give it to them, because it might really have an impact on them.
I have a question for the director.
Mm-hmm.
I see here about them reading the Bible in the morning, and I'm gung-ho about that. And Carl is too. He inspired me in that area. And I'm passionate about teaching my two daughters that, and that worked great in elementary school, and worked great in middle school. And now you say you guys usually get up at 6:30. My girls are driving out of the driveway at 6:30 to go to high school, public high school. So, you know, they're getting up at 5:30. I'm saying to them, hey, you know what? Why don't you get up at 4? You know, and they're like looking at me like you're nuts. although. Down in my soul, I think they should. But I'm not going to win that one, I don't think. At least I haven't so far. So I wondered, how kind of firm are you about the starting the day at 6:30 with the Bible and time with God? Is that critical?
For our
and
ladies,
your advice to me.
Yes. Well, for our ladies, they have to. They need the discipline and the structure in their life, because they've been living such a reckless life. It's so important for them to have some stability, begin to develop some good habits in their lives. But I would say with your daughters, since they've already developed those habits, and they're probably at the age now where they need to start making that choice on their own,
They're doing it at night.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's be flexible. We, you know, we are with the ladies also. We ask them to do it in the morning and at night. Sometimes they are too tired at night and they'll fall asleep. But I would say the most important thing for them at this point is to have an intimate encounter with the Lord where they're so hungry, where they want to spend time with Him. Okay. Where they're like, oh, I can't wait to, like, go get in my room with my Bible and just spend some time with my daddy. And to help them to have that experience, even in things like what Haley talked about, maybe going on a short-term mission trip or something like that in the summer, or just experiences where they're at conferences where there's a lot of young people and the presence of God is there, and they can just really, you know, it's great to understand the Word of God, and it does change our lives, but for women especially, we need a heart experience. Same thing with our relationships and our marriage. You can tell us all you want that you love us, but we've got to experience it. So for women especially, and I think for men too, whether you admit it or not, you wouldn't want a relationship with your wife all you have to do is just talk to her. You want the intimacy too. That's part of relationship. And so if you can help nurture that instead of, you know, it's good that they're doing it.
Yeah. One of the most interesting books I've read is by Warren Wiersbe called 50 People Every Christian Should Know. Mm-hmm. And it's just a cliff note of, and the first one is Catherine von Martin Luther's wife. Mm-hmm. And what I walked away from that is these are all people who passed away that have served the Lord. Mm-hmm. They got up early and spent time with God on the fourth watch. So if you understand the mm-hmm. The fourth watch for y'all. Before electricity many moons ago, 6 until 9 p.m. was the first watch, 9 until midnight, midnight until 3, and 3 a.m. till 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. And every person in this book would get up during the fourth watch and spend time with God. So what I'm sharing with you, Tim, is instead of you telling what to do, it'd be interesting just to thumb through and say, hey, read that article.
Right.
Like Haley said, the impact. Just give them a Christian CD. Don't preach at them, but... Yes. So Haley has experience and shared with us.
I think, too, when you have you're their dad, so you're their leader. So whatever you do, they're going to follow you. So if you do that, they're going to be like, wow, he's really... I like what he's doing. They're going to follow you. You know, even it might not be right away, but they'll do it.
And a lot of you know too that there are a lot of addiction and detox facilities out there. There's a lot of them, but there aren't that many where the focus is on Jesus, the Messiah. Very few. And so I've talked to some of you about how difficult it is to find places where, you know, He is the source of your recovery. There is no recovery outside of Jesus Christ. Zero. So we're very, very grateful for South Georgia House of Hope. And I guess I was wondering if Sharon could just share a little bit about, for a few minutes, as to, you know, how she got a vision from the Lord as to start it. And, you know, just how long you've been doing it for.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say that I also come from a background of addiction. And all of my family, I shared this with Chris and Marie last night, all of my family were alcoholics on both sides, both sets of grandparents and my parents. I had my baby brother was the first one in our family to come to the Lord, and one by one, every member of my family has come to the Lord and been set free from addiction. And so I actually went, I was addicted to crack cocaine. That was 29 years ago. And I actually went through a program called Teen Challenge. You may be familiar with it. It's very well known. And also went to the Walter Hogan Home in Garrison, New York. And while I was there, the Lord put in my heart a dream to have a home for women, because there was a lot of women there that had no safe place to go to when they left. They didn't have a safe home, a healthy family to go back to. So God put that dream in my heart. And when I came home, I began to go to school to become a counselor and to work with people with addiction, and actually ended up getting married, and it turned out to be an abusive marriage. And I was in that marriage for 7 years, believing that as a Christian, if I would just pray harder, that
things were going to change and everything was going to be okay. And finally, one day, the Lord said to me, Sharon, everything is not okay. This is not okay. I hate divorce, but that sentence and that scripture in the Word of God says, God hates divorce and, there's more to the sentence, it says, and cruel men. And the Lord said to me, as much as I hate divorce, I hate when men are cruel to their wives. And it's not okay for him to treat you that way. It's not okay. And so I ended up separating from him and moving into a home for abused women. And lived there for 6 months and gave time for the Lord to really speak to my heart. Do I continue to stand for this marriage and continue to pray? Or is this over and I need to move on? So I really, after 2 months, knew that the Lord was saying, this is not going to change, and this is not my heart for you. I love you, and I don't want you treated this way. So through that experience, I really gained a compassion for women that have been abused and had really no recognition, or I didn't recognize at all that abuse is a very large root of addiction. Over 90% of the ladies that come to us have been abused, usually sexually, and usually before they're 6 years old. I had no idea that it was that prevalent. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord to help me to found this home. And my thought was, I'll just be on the board, and I'll be the founder, and I'll help fund it. I had remarried, and my husband had some wealth, and so that was what I thought was going to happen. So we searched and finally hired a couple to help us start the home. And we had property in Georgia, so we decided that would be an easier place to build the home, because you understand zoning and all of that in Florida. And so we knew Georgia would be a much easier place to begin this ministry, and the people were very receptive to it being a Christian ministry. In Georgia, it's a completely different environment from here. Everyone goes to church on Sunday. Everything is closed. And so we started it, and we hired a couple with a lot of experience. They had 8 years for her and 14 years for him, and offered them a very good salary. And after 3 months, the man had a nervous breakdown and disappeared. And after 6 months, the lady told me, because the Lord had told me these women need healing and they need inner healing. It's a key to their heart. If they don't get these root issues healed, they're not going to make it. And so when I asked her to go for training and offered to pay for it, she refused and said, we are not doing deliverance here. We are not doing inner healing here. And if you think you're teaching anything like that, I resign. And so I said, well, I'm not telling you what you have to teach. I just know that these ladies came here to be set free. And they have, this is going to kill them if they don't get free. And so we have to give them everything that God has. And so she took her files and her staff and walked out the door. And I had five ladies there at that time, and they just started crying and said, what's going to happen to us? And I said, I don't know, but the Lord's going to help us. And so God kind of backdoored me into being a director. I would have never had the courage, nor did I feel qualified. And out of my heart for these women, I began to just dig in. Lord, you have to teach me. You have to show me how I can help them. And so I began to do more training, but most of all, relying on him. Just constantly, I would be in a room counseling with a young lady, and she'd be pouring her heart out this story that would just be crushing me, and I'd be just saying, God, I don't know what to tell her. You've got to tell me what to tell her. I had no idea what to say and how to help her. And so just really depending on him. And I think what it showed me is that every one of us can impact lives. And like Haley said, nations. We have no idea the power of God that's in us. And if we will just yield and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, I'll do it. That he will use our lives to change other people's lives. And so House of Hope has been there for 10 years now, and it's completely funded by donations. When we first started out, my husband and I did have some wealth, and then a few years later when the recession hit, we lost like almost everything. And so then we really began to learn to depend on the Lord and to understand that it's not something just for us, but it's for the body of Christ, and that he wanted everyone to be involved in it. And so God has just been so faithful to help us every single year, even this year. I mean, I just get amazed every year that we meet, but it's like, how does that happen? In the last month of this year, we were $40,000 short on our budget. And I was like, huh.
you know, I get so nervous, but the Lord hit it and went over, even with two major donors that usually give, pulling out, like, at the last minute for no reason. I was like, oh, we were counting on that, but God just, if it's His work, He will fund it. And so our heart is just really to be a place where women who are desperate and really want to change their lives can come and sit at the feet of Jesus and build an intimate relationship with Him, be changed and surrender and just watch and see what God does. Because with Haley, she's like my favorite fruit, because she's so young. And to see someone so young to just say, God, take my life, and not be worried about, I mean, not that she doesn't ever want to be married, but just putting God first and saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere You call me to do. If You call me to stay here at House of Hope, I'll stay here. Like, she, when our resident manager didn't work out, Kelly said, I'll move back in the house, Sharon, I'll help you. I'll move back in. She didn't have to do that. You know, she gave up her free time and moved in and sacrificed. And it has been a witness and a testimony to the other women in the house that are older, that are more selfish and more set in their ways, and they see this young girl saying, I'll give my life for the gospel. And so now they're beginning to say, maybe I'm not too old. Maybe God would still want to use me in that way. And so she has been such a powerful influence. And now we're seeing that almost every lady that comes through the House of Hope doesn't want to leave. It's like all of a sudden now we have reentry homes for them to go to for transition. But now the reentry homes are full. And they all want to, well, can I work at the House of Hope? When, you know, is God going to make room for me? Is there a place for me? Does God really have something for me? And so we're seeing them, instead of, I can't wait to get out of here so I can go live my life. It's like, God, what do You want to do with my life? So it's a beautiful thing, and I'm really grateful and honored that the Lord will allow me with my past. That's always just completely wrecks our hearts, that with the past that we've lived, that God would choose us and allow us to be a part of building His kingdom. And that's what House of Hope's about. And we're getting ready to start a men's program in February. We have a son who's addicted to heroin, and he's going to be the director there. He's been clean for 6 years. He went through a program here in Florida called Gun Club Memorial. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. It's in Okeechobee. And they were pioneers in the recovery industry. It's been there for 50 years. The founder just passed away, Dunklin Memorial. And so we're naming it after him. It's going to be called Evans Memorial Camp. And we've just been given another huge opportunity, a 20,000 square foot thrift store that was filled with junk. And so for 2 months, the lady, it's been a spiritual lesson, hasn't it? They've been cleaning out all the junk. And now we're painting, and we're hoping to fill it with some more nicer merchandise and use that to help fund, because a lot of the ladies that apply to the House of Hope have no resources. Their family does not have the ability to help them, to sponsor them. We ask for, it costs about $1,500 a month to take care of a lady. Our budget for the year there to run the whole house, which houses 12 women, is $154,000 for the whole year. And so it costs about $15,000 per lady to house them. So we ask them to raise half of it, $750, and House of Hope raises the other $750 through. We make jams, we do rallies, and now with the thrift store, we're hoping to be able to do even more sponsorship for the ladies. But sometimes they'll come and they don't have family that can help them, or they'll be in jail, they have nothing. And so we like to get it to a place where we have a couple of sponsorships in place for ladies that are really sincere, really want to change it. We can say, come, someone is willing to help you to change your life. So that's our goal. We're working towards that. I want to pass out some brochures for you so you can see pictures of what the house looks like. And there's also some testimonies. I hope I brought enough. There's some testimonies in there also of some of the ladies that have completed the program. And the phone number's on there, so if you have any loved ones or friends that need help, please call us. Have them call us. And if we can't help them, maybe we can refer them to some other place that can help. And so thank you for letting us share today.
And I would just say, Haley, as your uncle, I can't think of a better place for you to be in the world than completely surrendered like you are at this age. There's a lot of people who live their whole lives and don't get to that point, and their lives are a waste because of it, even successful people. So as your uncle, I'm very proud of you. With all my heart, I think I speak for your grandmother and your aunt as well. And I meet a lot of people that, well, even though you had to get there the hard way, again, you're in a good place. And I hope that Eric gets to that. My hope is for that my daughter could be like you, from the standpoint of not going the path you went, but being at the point where I don't want, it's not about a college degree, it's not about a profession, it's not about money, it's not about a marriage, it's not about children, it's about you, Lord. And anything else you want to bring to me is just gravy. So I really appreciate that.
I mean, complete surrender is what a lot of the Old Testament is all about, all those characters that get beat up. And I'd just like to say the people around this table that have given their testimonies that have some soul to it, they also went down a dark road. And I haven't met too many that are really on track that didn't go there first. And I want my daughter to be there. I don't want her to go down the dark road first, but it seems like that's how you have to get there. I do have a question for you. You mentioned being married to someone that was, bad. It seems like gals that grow up who have a negative influence are just attracted to the wrong kind of guy. I assume you run into that in your house. So what do you say? Sorry? You just can't find somebody? I mean, how do you work with that? How do you either reprogram or get that? How do you like something you don't like?
I think, especially since we have a room full of men, the greatest treasure that you can give your daughter is to honor her and treat her like a lady and show her how a man should treat her, so that she'll expect nothing less and won't accept anything less from a man. However, my experience with this gentleman was, unfortunately, he was an elder in the church and appeared to be a very good Christian man. I dated him for a year and a half. There were no signs of abuse. And I've had four women in the House of Hope whose husbands were pastors who were abused by their husband. It happens in the church. It's not just out in the world. We've had pastor's granddaughter. We've had pastor's daughters. We've had pastor's mothers. I think that what we've learned in House of Hope through our inner healing is that as we heal up those places in our heart, we won't attract those kind of people to us. Because if you have a judgment, I don't know if you'll understand this, but if you believed a lie, okay, that men are going to abuse you or that men can't be trusted or men aren't faithful, it's a lie and it takes root in your heart, and you will actually attract people to you that will make that lie truth to you. In other words, you'll attract men to you who aren't faithful, who are abusive, who can't be trusted, because you believe it so strongly that you want to reinforce that lie. And the enemy helps that. He accompanies you by sending men into your life. They're going to make that lie even stronger. Oh, yeah, see there? That's how every man is. That's the way they are. And so the key for us that we've learned is learning to recognize those lies and dismantle them with the truth, with the Word of God. And what God says is the truth. No, every man is not abusive. No, every man is not unfaithful. And so you begin to write the truth in your heart so that you can draw the right people to you. So there is some truth in that. It is almost like you're a magnet.
I had a pastor one time made a statement that was so simple and so profound. He said that the normal nature of male and female is that a man will give his love in order to get sex.
That's right.
A woman will give her sex in order to get love. Now, where's the filler for that? God says the great commandment is to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. At one time in my prayer time, I said, Lord, how can I truly love you with all my heart? How can I do that? that's a fair question. He began to show me, Carl, you get to know me, and the more you know me, the more you will love me. And the more you love me, the more you will want to know me. And see, that void now starts becoming filled from God, and now then your relationship with a man can start manifesting itself through God's power.
In a healthy way.
Yes.
Where he's not the one, for us, I think, not trying to get love, what's it going to give me, or what can I get out of it, but what is real love? It's what can I give? What can I give to this person to love them and share with them, share my life with them? What do we have to give if we don't have God's love? We have nothing.
That's right.
We're bankrupt.
That's right.
So, like you said, the deeper our relationship is with the Lord and the more secure we are in him, then that's going to be our basis, and then we're going to give to our husband or our significant other out of that overflow rather than trying to get what we need from them. And I think this is true. Haley's learning this. I think this is what's helping her to be able to give her life to the Lord. She doesn't have to have a man to fulfill her. However, God's going to put so much love in her heart that God's going to have to give her a man for to get release some of that, because it's the truth, honey, because you're giving all your love to God and he can't help it. He just can't resist you, and he's going to pour so much love into you that he's going to be like, she's got to have some more people to share this with, and he's just going to surround you with that, and he's going to give you the desire to give her his, because you've given him your life. So it's good.
Sure. Are you part of a network of Houses of Hope, or are you a standalone facility?
In my heart and in my mind, I'm a visionary, so there's House of Hopes all over the world in my heart. No, there really are. I've already told Haley, you may be the one who starts establishing them in other nations.
Yeah.
You know, so I believe that, and I really believe there's going to be three in the southeastern United States. Right now, there is one. And physically, in my natural body, I'm tired. I'm again at the place where I just want to be on the board. You know, please, Lord, raise up a director so I can just be on the board. I just want to be on the board. But he hasn't given me that release yet. So, yes, I believe there will be more. Right now, it is the only one. Yeah.
In Detroit, I'm part of House of Providence, which is exactly what we're doing.
I'm so interested. Isn't it interesting that he has these key people in this room, that you work with people recovering from addiction, you have had a relationship with a ministry like that, you have had a relationship, you have had, I could glean so much wealth of advice and information from you gentlemen. I would love to have your cards, because, this is an area we need strengthening on our board. You know, we've just had a very big switch on our board. We started out with, I'm sorry for keeping you over, but you can probably speak into this area too. We started out with a board. I didn't really understand how boards worked, and we tried to build a board of influential men and women in the community of wealth, because I thought that they needed to have influence, and that's what a board was. And I very soon found out that they didn't understand the heart of God. And they were making all their decisions based on Christ, but all the decisions were based on business and money. And they weren't based on the heart of God for these women. And I know you got to have that balance. You need both. So now what I said to them was, I want a board that knows how to pray and hear from God. Because it's more important to me that you have influence with him. Because if you have influence with him, you're going to get the influence you need here. Than it is that you have influence in the community. And almost all my board resigned. So they told me that they use the brain that God's given them to reason and to make decisions, and that's how they make decisions. And if I'm looking for somebody that hears the voice of God, that's not them. And I was like, ugh, whoa. So I now have now my board is built up. It's small right now. I only have two other women besides my husband and I, but they are powerful women of prayer. And so now we're at a stage of praying in, what does the new board look like? Who are they going to be? And just needing people with experience, but also people to know how to pray.
Okay. Are you a 501c3 organization?
Yes.
And the name of the organization is South Georgia House of Hope.
Yes, sir.
I did have one final question, and then we'll break up. Usually places like you guys have some absolute, simple, handful of rules. Break these, gotta go. Or, you know,
we're going to have a real serious talk. Uh-huh. Could you spit out a couple of those for us?
Absolutely no drug or alcohol use. Now, having said that, I will say that we're very grace, major grace because of God's name.
Well, did you come up with those rules by yourself, or did you get them?
We got them from other programs.
I'm a little bit involved with Pacific Art Mission, right. You know, in the Chicago area, and it is... It is an amazing thing, but the rules, you know, you have to come up with really the right rule, but the discipline is very important.
Yeah, we have to have some rules or there would be utter chaos there, and we do have quite a bit of rules. But the condition on the drug and alcohol use, in other words, if they were to go on a pass, we do allow them to have passes once a month, and they were to go on a pass and they came back and we sense that they possibly might have used, we would test them. And if they tested positive, then we would talk to them. If they were completely, really repentant and asking, please help me, I don't ever want to do this again, then we would add on to their program more time, stricter accountability, and work with them. If they continue to do that, they got to go, because then they're choosing to use, you know. But, you know, we're pretty strict. What do you think, Haley? You speak into that, because you can say for being in the program.
I think it's all about the heart. Like, we, you know, we're grace, but we're also, you know, we have discipline, but we just, it's really, like, different. It's not a cookie-cutter kind of program. It's just, like, you know, it's all about what the women, we see their heart and what, you know, the repentance,
right.
Really.
If they're just babies and they have no knowledge of Christ and they have no maturity because they've been doing drugs since they were 10 years old and they're 50 now, they're like, you know, you've got to give them time to grow in the Lord and mature, and they're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Any other rules that are biggies?
No violence. That's big one.
About dating.
Oh,
yeah,
no single men.
No,
because that's the number one way they fall into relationships. So we ask that for their first year after finishing the program that they do not get involved in any serious relationships. Yeah, accountability. You know, if you want to go have coffee with a gentleman, bring him to meet us. Take somebody with you to go have coffee. No single men in the home. You know, they have curfews.
We always have two. We go, like, in pairs everywhere we go because, I mean, even if, like, one of the girls was here with me, I would go to the bathroom with her if she was still in the program because you just don't ever know who you're going to run into or what you're going to see. So that's another big one.
Well, that's what the disciples did. They went in pairs. Yeah.
This is a question for Chris because you kind of, what was placed on your heart to kind of orchestrate this, otherwise it wouldn't happen. What do you want to see happen?
I haven't really thought about that, John. That's good. I just really want to see the Lord continue to impact other people like Haley. It's my number one goal.
What a follow-up question. You know John DeAngelis?
I know of him.
All right. John, Christian guy, he has an outreach in Cambodia.
Wow.
To people. He's working with Scott Price now, who's the former CFO of Arthrex. And you know Scott, right?
I know of Scott, too.
And so those two, they have an orphanage there for women that have been put into prostitution at a very young age. If you want something local, there is a house in Fort Myers that is reaching out to them under an auspices of the state attorney's office. As well. So there are places. The question is am I put in my mouth, so yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I'll connect you.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pray because some guys have to go. Haley, could you pray for us?
Yeah.
Just wrap it up.
Father, I just thank you right now for this group, God. I thank you for this group of godly men that you place in this community, Lord. To impact this community and impact their families with your love. Lord, I ask that you would increase their heart to embrace your heart, whatever that looks like in their daily life, God. I thank you for just an increase in this Bible study, that your revelation, your wisdom would just grow. God, I thank you for just this time that we were able to fellowship and just also just be able to speak about the House of Hope, God, and just testimonies. I ask that you would just continue to pour out your your grace and your mercy and just everything you have for today, Lord. And I just bless each one of these men. I thank you for the seeds that were planted, God, and then whatever connections you want to do, God, you would just make that happen. And I just ask that this day would just be yours. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So.